Welcome to Margaret. It's great to see you, and thank you very much for coming. And thank you, Will and the band, for leading us in worship. We'll be back to you soon. One notice, which is next Monday at lunchtime for half an hour between 1 and 1.30, Sophie, one of my colleagues, the curate here, is going to be doing a short thing in the church room just through the door at the back on how to hear God better as we read the Bible. We all read the Bible, some of us every day, trying to think, now, Lord Jesus, speak to me, I need to hear from you. And sometimes we hear immediately, sometimes we somehow think, he's not speaking today, what's gone wrong? And it's normally me, in my case, I mean, not in yours, obviously. But if you want to know how to hear, or some tips on how to hear God better, 1 to 1.30, obviously come and go when you can, in the church room, next Monday lunchtime. May I read to you, talking of the Bible, a few verses from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. Of course, up there is our Twitter handle. Is it a handle that we have when you have Twitter? Oh, thank you. I must have picked it up from Mr. Trump. I found somebody who tweets, who knows how to tweet, so we've begun to tweet again. So if you ever think, well, I wonder what's happening at St. Margaret's, or if in a really idle moment you think, I wonder what Jeremy's thinking, you can read a tweet, a Twitter, or what is it, a tweet? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, let's move back to the written word. Romans 8 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes, these first century Christians, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We had this morning the city prayer breakfast here in the city, where Christians all over the city gathered off Bishop's Gate to pray for the square mile, for all who work here, for the influence of the city on the nation. And our speaker this year was Jeremy Marshall, who's been a friend of mine for some years, quite by coincidence. 3 years ago, life was great for Jeremy. He was at the peak of his career. He'd moved from being a number two, number three or something in a bank in Canary Wharf to running a bank here in the city. And it was a golden time. His marriage was great. The children were flourishing. He got the type of job that he'd always wanted. And then 18 months ago, he wasn't feeling terribly well and went to the doctor. And was told that the cancer he last had 15, 20 years ago come back. This time it was terminal. He'd only 18 months to live. And frankly, he might as well not try anything remedial. I just live quietly for the last few months. That was not in his character. He mobilized all his Christian friends and he took every bit of treatment that he could possibly have. And this morning, we saw him still there and his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ stronger than it had ever been in the 53 years since he was born. And it's clear, as I chatted to him just briefly before the city prayer breakfast began, that the last 18 months had had a profound effect on him, on his relationship with Jesus, and what had happened in him and through him had really made an impact on the thinking of his colleagues, particularly about his faith. And it's to a similar confidence in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a renewed confidence that the Apostle Paul is writing about here. He homes in on it in verse 16. Where he says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Helpfully, though, having given us that wonderful truth, he doesn't simply leave us to get on with it. In the extract that I just read, we're told about the different ways in which the Spirit of Jesus increases our confidence in God and works in us. Firstly, he helps us recognize the way that he's changing us. We see that in the verses I didn't read, in verses 13 and 14. But essentially, Jesus wants you and me to see the difference that he's making in us. And if we can, not only does it build our confidence, but it reassures us that other people might look at us, colleagues who we see every day might look at us and think, actually, he, she is changing in some way. Of course, as we see in verse 14, where Paul writes, we're being led by the Spirit. The promise in these words that it's the Holy Spirit that does the heavy lifting when it comes to you and me being changed. He'll provide the resources if we want to work with him. We have choices to make. We have decisions to make when we're faced with temptation. But it's not just we are left to get on with it. The Spirit of Jesus does the heavy lifting. Habits and attitudes that we thought we'd never change, aspirations recalibrated, honed into being more like the ones that the Lord Jesus would have us have, relationships that have been difficult begun to be sorted. I want to change you, says Jesus. I want to reassure you about our relationship because you objectively see you're different. There's nothing like thinking, oh, Jesus, that is extraordinary. I never thought I wouldn't react to that, to think, gosh, you really are at work in me by your Holy Spirit. And as that happens, we grow in our ease with the Lord Jesus, as outlined in verse 15. We're no longer slaves to fear, writes the Apostle Paul. We've been adopted as children of God. Our relationship is based on and constantly encouraged by the fact that God has adopted you and me as his children. Our relationship with him is no accident. He saw us and he chose us. I have a friend who's adopted. He has absolutely no doubt about his parents' love for him. I mean, they're dead now because he's my age, of course. But he never had any doubt. And he always used to say to me, well, he said, they couldn't have known what you were going to be like. Otherwise, they might have had second thoughts. But they knew exactly, he said, what I was going to be like. Jesus knew what he was getting when it came to a relationship with you and me. He wanted to take it forward. He saw us. He wanted to take it forward. And the Holy Spirit is committed to ensuring that we're not slaves living in fear again. An odd phrase, because most of us feel anxious at different times around here. Will I get it right in that meeting? Will I hit that deadline? Have I understood that presentation? Most people feel anxious. Sometimes you feel, goodness, this is grim. But the Holy Spirit is saying here that we need never be anxious again, that we're never going to be quite good enough for Jesus, that he'll begin to wonder whether he made a mistake with us after all. We're not slaves living in fear. We need never fear that we're never going to be up to his standards again. Of course, that's easier said than done, especially when we mess up as Christians, as I do and perhaps even you do. But it's then that the Spirit enables us to pray, Abba, Father. the prayer Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, the prayer in which he combined honesty about how he felt with an absolute confidence in God. I don't want to go ahead with this, Lord. I don't want to go ahead with it at all. If there's another way, I'd love that other way. I just don't want to go ahead with this, Jesus replied. Nevertheless, what you want me to do, I'll do it. Absolute honesty and total cooperation. We can be real with God. We don't have to be worried we're not up to him, that he doesn't quite think we're up to standard. We're not slaves to fear. We're adopted as his children. Of course, it won't always be easy. In verse 17, he writes about sufferings. You and I have lived long enough to know that it's not always easy. My friend, as he spoke this morning, no hair. His rather expensive suit not fitting as well as it used to. The awful treatments that he'd been through. There'd been suffering. But the long term was guaranteed. And in the short term, he was confident in his relationship with God. There were two words before this service began. One was the picture of a woodpecker pecking away, trying to get into a tree. And on the other side of the tree trunk at which he was pecking, there was a hole that would have suited him perfectly. God saying, I've prepared it. I knew you'd need it. Just trust me. Another word, welcome. And today he just says, welcome. Come and seek more of me. Come and be reassured. Come and be confident. Pause and see how you've changed. Don't worry ever again about not being up to my hopes for you. I knew what I'd chosen. I saw you. It isn't a matter of luck. And before you go today, says Jesus, I really want to bless you again. I want to bless you again.